Lord, we just thank you for your heart, for your living heart, for the Holy Spirit who is so in tune with you by oneness, the things that really matter to you, the things that are on your heart, Lord, the things that are needful. Lord, there's so many things for us to get caught up in, so many things. But the Holy Spirit knows that which is needful because he has the heart of Jesus, the deep. He has searched the deep places of God that he might bring them to us, that we might freely know beyond knowledge, that we might know so we might be filled, the height, the depth, the width, the length, the breadth, the fullness of Jesus in ways that surpass knowledge, in ways that will fill us with all his fullness, that it would be no longer I, but Christ. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the Song of Songs, a song, his song. And Lord, we don't even understand how to hear that song, but by the Spirit of God. Give us dove's eyes, Lord, eyes to see Jesus by the Holy Spirit, to hear with ears that have been blood-tipped, that have been crucified, so we don't hear through our carnality and veil of flesh. But we hear Jesus from within him by his Spirit. Grant us, Lord, according to thine own heart. Grant us according to thine own heart. Not even our desire, but your desire. Now we're cooking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Take it and be pleased. Do what's in your heart as you have already been so beautifully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in class 14, but more importantly, we're in the word of his heart. And I would like us to turn to chapter 3, and we're going to begin by looking at the very last verse of that chapter, which to me is significant because it's not just a verse, it's, if you will, possibly the final statement that the scripture makes in that chapter. And I know there were no chapters that originally, it was just one flow. But if you will, there's an end thought to the incredible process of chapter 3, which we have spent weeks on and a lifetime, if you will. But the end thought is beautiful, and we have spent so many classes rehearsing the journey from the end of chapter 2 now to the end of chapter 3, and we probably are beginning to feel like, will we ever stop beating this dead horse? Well, I don't know, because I'm not trying to have a game plan. I'm just trying to hear from the Spirit of God that it would not be me. But, you know, let me just say this without getting wordy or too long on the things we've discussed, especially the last 3 or 4 classes. But she has really done some turning of the heart, some denying of the soul, some cleaving to him with purpose of heart, some taking teachings and making them real, taking a cross and applying it. And she has been laying hold of the word of life and making it her own, making him her own. And she has done it with passion in the face of her wayward soul, her excuses, her comfort-desiring flesh, her wily, justifying, carnal mind? Oh, in the face of giftings and benefits and all kind of stuff that could make her feel spiritual when he's not really there, and she has pressed past a lot of that, but not just pressed past it, but pressed into, because all of it's nothing if it's not pressing into him. Who, there's no virtue in just denying a soul. It's because you're following the Lamb in oneness. That's why you deny your soul. You know, here I go, but maybe it's not me. We can get so caught up in, I need to deny my soul, and I need to not feed my flesh, and I need to not, and I need to not, and I need to not, instead of, Jesus, I'm coming for you. Jesus, I'm coming for you. Jesus, I'm coming for you. What a contrast of heart and motive. I need to not. I need to not. Jesus, I'm coming for you. And as I come for you, I am not going to feed my soul. And as I come for you, I am not going to make excuses. And as I come for you, I am not going to be satisfied with anything short of oneness with the living God in ways that are his heart of hearts and true eternal nature in me. I am not. But it's not I am not. It's you are. And I am coming for you, Jesus. I'm coming for you, Jesus. You, Jesus, you. Not I, not. All that happens. But love changes the emphasis. It sure does. And Jesus said, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? You know, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, to love. Jesus said that. Some prophet didn't say that. One of the apostles didn't. Jesus said that. To love with all. It fulfills what? The law. Thou must. Thou should. Deny. Behave. Perform. Get better. We can hear the law with those types of ears because we hear it only in relation to ourselves. The prophets. All of that, Jesus said, is fulfilled in one thing. Love the Lord thy God with all. What's the emphasis of that one thing that is needful? Is the emphasis, fulfill this commandment. Do not do that. This is what the Lord's saying. Why don't you? What? Prophets, law, all these commandments and things we're supposed to. Be needful. It's needful. We need to do it. But Jesus said there's one thing that fulfills all those needful, all those many, many things that the law and the prophets are talking about. There's one thing that fulfills all those many things that we think are needful. But Jesus said there is one thing. Love, love, with all, with a burning hot passion, with a casting away all those other cares, with the put the blinders on and just go for Jesus, with taking stuff out of the boat and just getting to the, jumping out of the boat like Peter did and like Jonah did, and just get, I'm coming to you. I am not going to look at the many things of the storm or the fact that if I'm Jonah, I'm going into a big old whale because I need to experience my death with Christ. But listen, I'm going to cry out from that place to the temple of the Lord. And even in that, there is one thing that's needful. And it's an H-I-M. It's an H. Isn't it great? That with Mary Bethany and with Jesus and the people listening to him, the scribe that even got it right on a certain front, the rich young ruler who almost, but didn't, but that Jesus, that one thing, is an H, it's an H-I-M, it's a him, it's a person, it's a person, it's a person, a living being that has given us his heart and access into his inward parts through oneness, a oneness that he purchased with scars through death. He took in our, like was shared last class, our sin, our serpent poison, our old vile nature. He took it all in, put it away so we could be brought in through his spirit, partaking of his divine nature. And, you know, that one thing that is needful, she did it in chapter 2. In the beginning, she had many things. She was a Martha, Martha, and even worse. But by the end of chapter 3, and now we're back in the Song of Songs. Oh, excuse me, I've got some allergies. At the end of chapter 3, she's on the one thing track. She's found it. She's found him whom her soul loveth, but not just in the manner in which her soul loves him, but in the manner in which he needed to be loved by her according to his, if you will, his soul, his eternal heart. Yeah. And she, and we talked about this two classes ago, in the midst of chapter 3, in the middle, there was a turn where it was no longer him whom my soul loveth, but his bed, his rest, his dying, his suffering, his sweet savor. He is my life. His chariot carries me. His rest is my rest, his nature. And she starts coming forth perfumed with the spirit of the Lamb, with the nature of him in the selfless giving. And the altar is lit. The altar is fragrant. Christ is coming forth. The Lamb is coming forth. He is coming forth out of her in the prescribed manner that he needed her to be with him. She would never have dreamed in the beginning of chapter 3 that him whom my soul loveth is going to be truly found, more than just shaking the watchman and grabbing hold of him and bringing her into her mother's house. He's really going to be found on his terms when she allows the dying of the Lord Jesus to manifest in her mortal flesh and becomes the place where, if you will, the firstborn son can give himself in sacrifice, where the Lamb of God can be laid on the altar of her heart and be released, dying for others, bearing in my mortal flesh the dying of the Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We all know that verse, but we need to know that verse. Him, H-I-M. And so she did. She did it by the end of chapter 3 on his terms. Now we know why this book is a song and why it's his song. Because for somebody to enter in to him on the basis of his desire, his kind, the way he wants to give and die and live through us, is like, I wouldn't say like heaven to him, because he defines heaven. I mean, it's the joy of his heart. It's, you know, there's a song that Bach wrote called Jesu or Jehu, Jesus, the joy of man's desiring. But the Song of Solomon is not Jesus, the joy of man's desiring. It's the joy of Jesus's desiring. This song that we are searching every note and harmony and release, this song is the joy of Jesus's desiring. And when she comes into oneness with his Lamb nature and allows him to be the Lamb through her in death, in altars, in release, he starts the song, it just it crescendos. There's this climactic move of music, of but it's the heart of Jesus. And so at the end of chapter 3, if you will, it's just the song just starts singing. It's singing loud, singing strong, singing from the heart of Jesus. And having that in our hearts, let's read verse 11, the very last verse of chapter 3. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. Well, we could take that verse and just kind of remove it from the context of the Song of Solomon and just kind of look at it separate and just say, oh, go forth, ye daughters of Zion, behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. Well, I guess we should just look at Jesus and I don't know what this means, but behold King Solomon, and there's going to be a crown, and his mother crowned him, and it's the day of his espousals. That sounds really amazing, kind of like a neat wedding picture. I kind of like this scripture, not sure why. It may be because, you know, girls like to think about weddings, so hey, this could be kind of neat. I, you know, like that. In the day of the gladness of his heart, oh, I'm so happy. Jesus is happy. Never really realizing that this verse came from this Shulamite going through what she went through in chapter 3 and dying to self and denying her soul, but doing all of that because of the one thing which was loving him with everything in her, to the point where she allowed him to be who he is in her. And that's a lamb that's giving himself unto death, and he came forth and sacrificed, and she's perfumed with the merchant and the savor, and he's getting one after his kind. Now you read the verse. It's the day of the gladness of his heart. He's getting one after his kind. He's not locked in the basement. He's living through his bride, his body, his temple. It's the day of the gladness of his heart. Of his heart. It's the day of his espousals. Wow, how powerful that is. When you take it in context of the whole of chapter 3, this is the day where he got a wife. This day, not chapter 1 day, not chapter 2 day. A whole lot of good stuff happened in chapter 1, didn't it? There was a lot of raisin cakes. There was a lot of under the apple tree. There was a lot of holding in the right arm and the left arm. There was a lot of bundle of myrrh and all kinds of intimate things like that in chapters 1 and 2. But that wasn't the day of the gladness of his heart. That wasn't the day of his espousals. That happens when someone embraces the Lamb of God and says, no, I died with you, and now you're going to die through me. Because that's who you are. And who I am now is who you are, because you're my life, because I no longer live. I have embraced the cross of my own death, and now I'm embracing the Lamb nature that will give himself through me. And he says, this is the day of my espousals. Remember, he never called her spouse in chapter 1, chapter 2, or chapter 3. But after this, and in chapter 4, in the next verses, he calls her my spouse 4 or 5 times within the next couple sentences. He couldn't call her that before because she hadn't really entered into union with him in this way. Does that mean she was not in him? From new birth, we are in Christ and he is in us. So we're not talking about being in Christ. We're talking about the way we relate to him once we're there. And that is a choice. Not a finished work and not a spiritual reality far away. It's a choice we make every day, every moment. How am I going to relate to Jesus? What is my relationship going to be like with you? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. I don't want to harden my heart. I got today. I don't know if I got tomorrow. I got today to relate to you in the way you need me, Jesus. the way you need me. The way you died with a desire. Your song, Lord. Today's my day. But will it be? Will it be the day of the gladness of his heart? Because even in the smallest way, and we know some days there's bigger ways than others, but each day has endless potential, not just to say no to our soul, but yes to the Lamb. To say yes, and in saying yes, we say no. In saying I'm coming to you, we're leaving something else. We can do that all day. There's many things that need help in our earth. But there's one thing that's needful, and that's the joy of his heart, the desire of his heart, the desirings of Jesus, and that we would hear that first. Oh my gosh, we become awakened to it like our prayer in the beginning of class. Oh, Holy Spirit, awaken me to what's in the deep places of God, the desires of his heart. Be it unto me according to thine own heart, was the prayer David prayed in the Psalms. Be it, Lord, open my eyes. By the Holy Spirit, give me, like she had in these chapters, dove's eyes to see what into your heart, to know you. So that one thing can be that love of responding with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. Loving you, not just denying me, Lord, but loving you, and in so doing, following you whithersoever you go. Well, that's not just some strange, ethereal, apocalyptal Mount Zion, weird drug trip, dream, visionary, far away land of whatever. That's right now. Where is the Lamb going today? I'm following you. And I don't always want to run behind you. I want to be one with you. I want it to be you in me, Lord. And that means maybe today I'm realizing that I need to apply with my own hands the cross of my own death. Not that I'm crucifying, but you did the work. You finished the work. You did it perfectly. And I'm just taking it in oneness and enforcing it like a mother does with her children. You're dead. And I reckon it so. Get thee behind me, Satan. No, I'm just saying, it's our flesh, but my Lord. And I'm with him in oneness because he died. And I'm partaking of that resurrection now actively. And she did that. She did that. Now, it says the day in chapter 3, verse 11, it says in the day of the gladness of his heart. Well, you know, that day wasn't a great day for her if you look at it from the natural, from the soulish natural, from just the earth experiences that she went through. You know, this was compared to chapter 1 and chapter 2. Chapter 3, which was the day of his joy and the gladness of his heart, for her, it was like, I had to run through city streets. I had to be awakened to all my false spirituality justifications. Then I was being, you know, treated like ignored or not. The watchmen were just odd. They didn't feed me like they, I don't know. It was weird. It was maybe hurtful. And then my soul's a mess. I'm in the dark night of my soul. It's not a pleasant experience, obviously. And then when I find him whom my soul loves, we're going to go into death. And that death is, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be probably shame, probably situations involved in Jesus being Jesus the Lamb that are not pleasant to our soul, but require laying our life down and in real time, in like real ways. We're like, that person is really hurting me. But no, Lord, it's not going to be hurting me. It's going to be about you in me, and you're going to take this in your nature. And it's not going to be me getting hurt. It's going to be Jesus, the Lamb, blessing and not cursing and laying his life down. And that's not fun to go through. And we're not supposed to go through it for him. We're supposed to let him go through it in us and we be with him. But she didn't have that. If all that stuff's happening and there's an altar being lit and an offering ascending, which was happening at the end of chapter 3, her day was probably pretty rough in earth terms. Things probably didn't go her way on that day. But if she yielded to Jesus, if she let him be who he is in her and give his life and forgive and bless and not curse through her, then it was the day of the gladness of his heart, the day of his espousals, and the final thing I wanted to mention, the day that he was crowned. You know, there's that, I love that song that goes, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Da 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 da. I don't know all the words, but crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. And I, you know, I always get this celestial throne room in heaven, and crown him with many crowns. And, you know, so we're all just, you know, it's kind of not very practical, very far removed from my life in the earth today. But I see in this verse, the day when he is crowned, the Lamb upon the throne, that's not some celestial vision in heavenly places in this story. It's her going through it in her daily today, right here and now. Circumstances that are not fun, are not fair, are not what she wanted. And she is crowning him as a wife crowns her husband, saying, you are head and Lord and life, and I say yes. I go to the altar and I marry you. And now you're getting a wife. She puts the crown on his head. And she says, be the Lord of this situation. Be my life in this situation. Not I, but Christ in this situation. And he gets crowned. And it doesn't look pretty in the earth. It's the day of the gladness of his heart in the heart of God. You go, well, I'm in a shelter in place. Life is pretty rough. There's circumstances that are grinding my nerves. How can it be the day of his espousals? It's the perfect day. It's the perfect time. Because if there are things that are making you go a little bit crazy, and that soul is rising, and that flesh is pressing, that's when we can communicate to H-I-M, to Jesus. I love you. I love you more than I love myself. I love you more than I love my soul. I love you more than getting my own way. I love you more than being right. I love you more than everybody thinking I'm right. I love you enough to let you be my life, to marry you, to crown you, to think about your joy instead of my joy. In fact, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my... If you're happy, if you're full of joy, Jesus, that just strengthens me to just say, yes, Lord, your joy is my great reward. Hallelujah. What better reward could there be than making you, your heart glad? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's just a song that we can start to sing with Jesus. I was doing some children's church lessons with my nephews and niece, and whom I love so very much. And we were having a little class on turning up the volume, and that we need to just turn. And it was a word that also was given. I believe that maybe the New Year's service that was for 2020 for my local fellowship 10 years ago in 2010. I don't remember, that could be the case, but I think the leadership may have said a word about turning up the volume on the still small voice. Well, back in that wonderful service, in reality today, and then with the children in our lesson time together, we're just like, you know, we need to turn up the volume on Jesus, who is singing in our hearts. We need to turn down the volume of our soul and our self that's crying out and being bit by serpents and thinking all of its nightmare thoughts. The truth is, we need to reckon that dead and enforce the reality of our death with Christ. But just simply turn the volume down and turn up the volume. Because if we do, we'll hear. If we turn up the volume on the Lamb of God that is within every born-again believer, We're going to hear him singing the song of the Lamb, singing the song of Solomon, the song of songs, the song of the bridegroom. And that's going to strengthen us. But man, if we keep it on channel soul, and I'm not talking about soul music, but soul, soul music, you know, your soul and my soul station. If we turn it to channel soul or channel self, there ain't no way it's going to be the day of the joy of the gladness of his heart. It's going to be the day of Jesus leaving her alone on her bed in the dark night of her soul, because he ain't got nothing to do with that channel. You know, we got to tune in to his song. We got to hear that heart that wants to sing inside of us and turn down that soul that just wants to just awful music that just crowds out the beautiful Lamb of God in us. We can turn that station, deny your soul, turn down the volume, turn off the volume, and let Jesus sing. Man, he is beautiful. He is so beautiful. Good Lord. We will just keep that station on all day and all night. He'll give us songs in the night. How long has it been since the Lord has given you songs in the night? I just feel like the Lord wanted to ask that to somebody, or maybe somebody's, or maybe just me. How long has it been since you've had songs in the night? And was there a time when you used to have them and they were so sweet, where your spirit communed with itself and the nature of the Lamb in you, and the Holy Spirit brought to you things of his heart that were as songs that filled you as you lay in your bed and even as you slept? How long has it been since you've had songs in the night? Do you want that again, like David had, like you had or can have? Do you want that again? He wants it for you, for us, he would say, for us, for you and him, us. He wants to give his song to you in the night. He wants to sing in you again. He misses that intimacy. He's tired of your soul ruling and reigning and being crowned and enthroned, grumbling and mumbling all through the night, where he doesn't get his wife. He doesn't get that intimacy. It is not his joy. It is his sorrow. What do? Turn the station. Just change the channel. He said, rise up, come away, my love. The winter is gone. The rain is over. The birds are singing. Who do you think the singing birds represent? Jesus inside of you. He's our new heaven and our new earth. He's the new song. He's the song that fills our heart. He said, listen, the rain, it's done. The winter, gone. The vines have a scent. The figs are blossoming and bringing. The birds are singing. Just turn the channel. Come away from channel soul. Rise up from channel self. Come away, my love, my beloved, my undefiled. These are the words of Jesus in the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14-ish. Come away, my undefiled. Come and run with me. Hallelujah. There was a song the Lord gave me in Bible school. I just almost wanted to start singing it. If I had a guitar, I would end class with it. Maybe we'll just do that and we'll end there. If you just give me 1 second to grab this little tiny guitar that's right over around the corner, and see if I remember the song, which would be a minor miracle. We'll end with this. Give me a second. Just take a moment. I fear this guitar is so out of tune, there may be no hope. Try to keep the guitar low because it's out of tune. Come away. with me. We will fly in your high places. You will see my glory revealed in you, my life in you, my love. Do not rest in your present stages. There's so much more in me, more for us. Come away, my love. Come away. You don't see with my eyes, but it's my song I sing, written from my cross. Do not rest in your presence. Come, not rest in your present stages. There's so much more in us, for us, more for us. Come away, my love. Come away, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They rejoice in the spring of Christ. Holy Ghost will open your eyes that you are free in Him, in His spring. So come away, my love, come away. Hallelujah, Lord, we just want to come away. Come away because we're coming unto you. Lord, we want to turn the channel. We want to turn the channel from the many, many things that try to draw our hearts and steal our days and consume our focus, when there is one thing that is in need, Lord. And that thing is you. You are the one thing that is needful, and to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind, Lord. Oh Lord, we say yes. We say yes. Be it unto us according to thine own heart, Lord Jesus. And Lord, it's not our hearts that we're seeking, but the gladness of your heart. Each day may it be the day of the gladness of your heart, Lord, where we crown you Lord of all, our Lord, enthrone you as our life, and honor you as our head and husband, because we yield to your nature, not our soul, not our mind, not our soul, but Jesus who's in us. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Let it be for the glory of God, the day of his espousals, where he's crowned, where he's glad. Lord, may the joy of the Lord be our strength, not our own joy, not things going our way, not how it feels to our soul, not what we want, not our hopes and desires and dreams, but his hopes, his desires, and his dreams. Lord, may we hear the song of Jesus' desiring and not the song of our desiring for Jesus, because it's still about us then, Lord. We want to hear the song of all songs, his song, his heart, his desires, for a bride that is with him after his kind, because he can truly be who he is through her as a lamb. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for tomorrow. We thank you for the days ahead that will be the days of the joy and the gladness of your heart as we relate to you in these ways, as are written in the Word of God, according to your own desires. So we pray this for Jesus, in his name and for him, for his very heart. Hallelujah and amen.